Let's go into you guys a little bit individually then first. I mean, I've been watching on Bates Motel, and you're just great. I only saw season one, though, so I don't know if your character's dead or what. Like, don't even, don't spoil it. But I mention it because, you know, it's you play, you know, you have the tubes in your nose in that show, and did that prepare you at all for this?
No, completely different. And I didn't even approach the character as, this ill, this sick patient, because as soon as you do that, then she just becomes a victim or a tragic character. And the same with my character in Bates Motel. I forget that I've got cystic fibrosis because, you know, she's so strong. And the same with Rachel. She is the stronger one out of Greg and Rachel's relationship, and she's the one that wants to help him realise his full potential. But to answer your question, no, it didn't help me the role.
Right.
How did you get involved? What were you doing prior to auditioning for this one?
I don't know. I was doing a bunch of movies that were not really satisfying me, and I felt like I was stuck in this rut of playing like the reserved sort of innocent teenager that doesn't, you know, that hasn't like really found himself yet. And in a way, this was like the end all be all of those characters, because yes, he is sort of sensitive and insecure, but he's also confident and so smart. He's someone that has like all the answers, but because too sort of stubborn and selfish to make use of them. And he was just so much more complicated than a lot of other characters that I'd read. And so,
you said last night you saw a little of yourself in that too.
Oh yeah, so much of myself. And that was one of the things where like, I just feel like I needed to do it. And I think that's the only reason you can really emotionally relate to a character. Like you have to have emotional connection to a character, in order to tell a story in an honest way. So I chased the movie as hard as I could after I read the script, and I knew I met Alfonso when auditioning for his first film, and I didn't get that, but he was just like a really cool guy and sent me a bunch of DVDs, two of which ended up being movies that we parody in here, strangely enough. And
do you guys have a favorite parody, each of you?
Yeah.
I like his Burden of Screams.
Oh yeah,
so funny.
That was like my favorite to shoot, and also like the scariest to shoot, because we were out in public and just kind of shooting it very guerrilla style in this park in the middle of the day when all these kids are running around, and I'm just like in this white suit kind of screaming, cursing at the top of my lungs in a German accent. And it was like, alright, well, this is the kind of movie it's gonna be, so here we go.
Are you guys both, you know, movie nuts like that?
I'm definitely not. I really, really, really want to be, but I'm so busy all the time that the last thing I want to do is try and concentrate on a movie that's really, really hard going. I'll just put on Amy Schumer and just like make me laugh. Just make me laugh.
A little escapism from your crazy schedule. Yeah,
it's a real commitment. It's a lonely life being a cinephile. You're spending a lot of time watching. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be lonely, but I feel like I spend a lot of time at home just watching films, and especially for this movie, really. I wanted to watch all the films that they parodied, because I just thought it would be dishonest to be parodying films that I hadn't seen, and I wanted to like them the way that Greg liked them, and and especially talking to Alfonso, his love for film is so infectious that
you could hear him talk. He's almost like talking faster than his brain's moving faster than his mouth can move.
Yeah, sometimes he doesn't.
And
hear
I mean
himself.
That's a compliment.
He doesn't hear the words that he says, because you know he's always already on to the next thing. And
so he's the movie nerd of all of you guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've learned so much from him.
Yeah. Go into, you know, like when you were younger. I mean, your character in the movie's making all these movies in high school. What were you guys doing? I mean, did you ever shoot stuff as a kid, or were you in plays when you were younger? Like, what? How did you guys get bit by this?
I played a lot of sports when I was really young, and then started doing theater in middle school. I don't know. That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Scratch.
I want to hear about the very beginnings.
Very beginnings.
The most, unpolished thing you worked on.
Do you want me to tell you my first memory?
Yes.
Oh,
ever in life.
Oh, yeah, you should tell that story.
It made Thomas projectile vomit into a bit.
This is a story that made me throw up, and I've never thrown up, from being grossed out by anything.
All right, let's hear it.
So, the memory to start off all memories, that the memory that was just so violent and ingrained and etched into my brain to start off my memory bank was I was sat on my mum's bed and I was 2.5. And at that point in my life, I'd learned how to put my hands down my pants when I was about to fart, cup it, and sniff.
Who did someone teach you that, or you just randomly started?
I just think I really love the smell of my own scent.
So
and then,
selfish.
So in my mum's bed, my mum's not, I'm just watching TV.
Yeah.
Feel a fart brewing, put my hands down my pants, go to cup, pull my hand out. There's just a cow pat. My hand is just encrusted.
So I
shout my mum, I'm mum! And she sees me, she's like, dirty girl. She shoves me in the shower. She's smacking my bum while my head and my arm is just in the shower. And I'm just like, she's like, dirty girl. I'm like, sorry.
Right now he's doing the thing from the movie where he
really
pretends to pass out right now.
So that really set up. That's really...
And that
everything
made you
know about me right now is because of that moment.
Because of that. That brought you to Sundance. That catapulted it.
It really did. I feel like it taught me to just let go.
How did you guys go into those little bits when you pretend that you're, you know, in the movie?
Oh,
you know,
I mean...
When you pretend to pass out when you're
tired
of listening.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, mine's more like a seizure. Yours is more like sort of a worm movement.
Like a worm convulsing.
Yeah.
I
don't know. You kind of just said it's different personalities.
Whatever it means to you.
Yeah. You just have to...
It's method, really. You just walk down the street doing that every day for a while.
You feel it. It's like a dance. But you know when the music hits you and you're just like, I'm just going to let the body do what it's going to do. That's what it was
Like. Yeah, because I remember reading in the script, I was like, what do they even want to do? And then I'm like, well, I'll just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, kind of culminated in me, like, you know, crawling across the floor, and, you know, in
the
subhuman state. And then, it was a very physical role.
When you sit there, like, for instance, last night, or, you know, whenever you watch it on the big screen, do you sit there and you're like, wow, I like that scene? Or is there a scene you're like, damn, I wish I could have that one back?
There's some scenes where I was like, I could do that one more time. But there's a lot that I'm like, wow, I don't know that we could ever have gotten it better than that.
How'd we pull that off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which scene? I mean, is there...
The 5-minute scene, where it's just static, two shot.
Yeah. You're in the foreground.
And I'm in the background.
I'm really in awe with that scene. It's the most proud I've ever been of a performance.
Just the way it plays out is so authentic, and it has this beautiful arc to it, and starts off so light, and then naturally kind of takes a turn, and is really heartbreaking by the end, and it ended up being one of the quickest scenes we shot because we only did one setup, and we didn't rehearse it at all because we were. We didn't want to waste it. We had known it. We knew it so well from all the auditions and stuff that, like, let's just go for it and lay it all out there in the first few takes, and then ended up being kind of the best for the scene.
Man, visually, though, just the way he directs it, like, in that scene, you know, sometimes it'll be a long, static single take like that, and that works for your performance. I mean, you guys went to really emotional places in that, and letting that be a single take kind of helped that happen. But then other shots... You know, it's a lot of whip pans and stuff like that. But then the one that really stuck out to me, too, was when you guys are in the room, I guess, for the first time, the way he, like, shows your distance from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only with the two-shot where you're wide in the way he composed it, but the depth one, you know?
So when he's doing stylistic stuff, like, you know, the long lens, you guys are sitting in the room. It reminded me of, like, Benjamin and Mrs. Robinson. It was so, you know, the depth of field shows how far apart you guys are. Did you guys notice this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to, like, look at the monitors and know exactly what the camera's doing.
There was
doing.
No monitors, really. There was only
there really
weren't.
So
it never bother us too much or interfere with what we were doing. Only if we had to, like, move around the camera. Would we then create like this do-si-do? But I must have been so unaware because I can't remember having any conversation about what the shot's gonna look like. I was just
he kind of gave us parameters like, okay, we can use the space in this way. But you know, you didn't know how it was gonna look, and in a way, that's kind of helpful too.
Yeah.
In the same way that we didn't know that long take was gonna be the only setup that we did for that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because then we might have tried to do something extra.
When you're in a long take like that and you know it's an emotional scene, are you halfway through it or you're like, are we getting this? Or does it feel like, damn, we're nailing
this?
No,
you can't. I mean, that you really just have to, like, live in it. Mm-hmm. And I never approached it as an emotional scene. And I think that's what makes it so effective. I think I approached it as just another day at Rachel's house, you know, where I'm going to go and
make some jokes, and we're going to talk about prom, and then just kind of letting myself slowly be affected by the things that she's telling me, and then letting that all happen naturally was, I think that's what makes it so heartbreaking, is that it starts off in a light place, and then, you know, slowly these things, they both just start to, you know, he kind of loses it and lashes out.
Has this Sundance ride just been insane for you guys? I mean, you're both relatively young.
And, so overwhelming.
You have your whole career ahead of you, but I mean, is this, do you look at this like, man, this is,
peaked.
This is, no, not peak. I hope not.
Yeah, but it's such a huge experience,
yeah.
And yeah, it definitely feels like a turning point in some sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we never expected anything like the reception that it got at Sundance, and I was just excited to go to Sundance.
Yeah.
Everything else after that has just been icing on the cake. And
it's been so overwhelming, it really has. It's been wonderful, and just everyone involved just worked the butts off. They really did. Everyone put so much heart and soul into it, and so it feels good that it's happened for everyone involved, because I've never been on a set where just every single person has just given so much of themselves to this job, to the job,
yeah.
To a story.
Sum the movie up in one word, each of you guys.
God.
For what it means to you.
I don't know. I feel like we sell it short if we try and be like, friendship, love.
Yeah.
Appreciation.
Appreciation.
What's next for you guys? What's time of that?
I'm doing a film called Brain on Fire with Dakota Fanning. It's much darker than, you know, a lot of things that I've done before. And
yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
And you,
honey? I'm doing a movie called Limehouse Golem with Alan Rickman in England.
What genre is that?
Murder mystery.
Nice. You guys have done some darker stuff. You know, Ouija.
I have not.
This would be your... Well, Bates Motel, then, at least. I mean, there's a dark side, apparently. But there's comedy in the dark.
Yeah, but it's
no,
like, I've done a lot of comedies, and now I feel like I'm really wanting to explore some darker
I think I'm
sides.
More just drawn to the characters. The characters are really strong.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.